Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15, Luke 24:47, John 20:21, Acts 1:8, all verses concerning the commission that God gave to the church. We call it a great commission. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a tall order. That big little word, all. And it is an order. I'm an ex-military man. My dad was a career man in the Navy. Orders are orders, and you better follow orders.
Right.
How are we going to do that? We can't do it individually. Right. We have to do it as a team.
Yep.
I love sports. I played a lot of sports, football, baseball, track, cross country. And if we're going to do this, we're going to have to do it as a team.
Right.
Not some big shots, the captain, right, just him, as a team.
Right.
The secret is not numbers. The secret is unity.
Yes,
unity. I want to preach on some qualifications to be on God's mission team, and hope that'll go good with everybody here.
Amen.
If it does or doesn't, I don't care, but I'm preaching what God tells me to teach. Amen. God used, number one, God uses saved people.
Amen.
Born-again people.
Right.
People have been converted. People are now saved Christians and not ashamed of it.
Right.
Amen. I said last night in my testimony, I was saved age 29, Brother Blue, first time I ever heard the gospel. That preacher came into my home just a little bit. We were sitting at the dining room table. He opened the scriptures. We got through. We got down and prayed. He said, are you saved? I said, no, I can't be saved. Can't be that easy. Got to be more to it than that. He went back in the scriptures, showed me Ephesians 2:8-9. I didn't understand much of the Bible. The only church I'd ever been to in my life was a Protestant chapel on a Navy base where my dad was stationed. I never heard the gospel there. Heard David and Goliath so many times,
yeah,
crossing the Red Sea so many times, never heard the gospel.
Yep.
He went back in the scriptures. I got down and prayed the second time and I got in.
Amen.
Still in.
Amen.
John 6:37 says you can't be cast out. John 10:28 says you can't be plucked out. Jude 24 says you can't fall out.
Amen.
Once you're in, you're in. You don't want out when you get in.
Amen.
God uses saved people, born again people. Are you on the team today?
Amen.
There's three kinds of people in most churches. Believers, non-believers, and make-believers.
Yep.
Right.
Only believers are on this team.
Right.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because probably everybody here has made a profession of faith, but there might be somebody here that's make-believing.
Right.
Number two, God not only uses saved people, He uses supporting people. What if a preacher gets up and says, next month we're going to have another mission conference?
Yeah.
Well, preacher, we just had a mission conference.
Yeah.
Now, preacher, you know we have a mission conference the first full moon of the second quarter of every year. We're not going to do it any different. That's not supporting, is it?
Right.
Supporting people. People that are behind the pastor. Whatever you say, preacher, if you get your orders from God, I'm with you. I'm behind you. Let's do it.
Amen.
Let's go to some scripture right here. Mark chapter 2. You know the story. About four men had a burden for one man sick of the palsy. They couldn't get in. Jesus was preaching a meeting. It was crowded. The doors were packed. The windows were packed. They couldn't get in. What'd they do? They went up to the roof, took the roof apart, and they lowered that man down. I want you to get the picture. Four men up on the roof. Each one of them had a rope. The rope was tied to the four corners of this cot, and they're lowering the man down there. One of them said, man, this is crazy. This is a little fanatical. I'm out of here. This is too much for me. And he drops the rope.
Yep.
That thing tips over. That man hits the deck down there, killed or injured, and the mission fails.
Right.
But they didn't. They lowered him down.
Yep.
Team effort.
Right.
Team effort. House catches on fire before the days of fire hydrants and fire trucks. The neighbors get together. They start dipping buckets in the branch and passing the water. Somebody's throwing the water on the house. Who's more important? The one throwing the water in the house, the one dipping the water, those passing the buckets. They're all important. It takes a team effort.
Yeah,
a team effort.
That's right.
Man hears a scream of a little girl down in the well. He reaches down there. I'll be right back. He goes get some help and some men lower him down. He's got a rope around his waist, lowering down in that well to rescue that little girl. Who's more important, the man with the rope on his waist or the men holding the rope on top? They're all important.
Right.
It's a team effort. A team effort. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go there. I'll do some reading here now. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, with what they all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of rushing a mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 1, They were all with one accord in one place.
Yeah.
Go to chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common.
Yep.
Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. This is the One Accord Baptist Church.
Right.
Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such should be saved. That's the result when we work together in one accord.
Right.
God gave the increase.
Amen.
God gave the increase. Wow, a team working together.
Amen.
Supporting people. Are you on the team?
Amen.
Well, I'm here, but I'm here in protest. I'll do what the pastor said, but I don't like it.
Right. Hmm?
God help us.
Right.
Hmm? God uses saved people. God uses supporting people. God uses supplicating people.
Amen.
That's our greatest privilege, is prayer, probably our most neglected privilege.
Right. Right.
Most neglected privilege. Acts chapter 1, go back there. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Look at chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking the bread, and in prayers.
Yes, sir.
Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They had a definite time and a place to pray.
Right.
Here's some deep theology here. Now, you ready? How many here want to get your prayers answered? Let me see your hand. Here's the key. You've got to get them heard.
Right.
If we regard iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us.
Right.
We want to get a message through to God. We've got to get on the right frequency. When you got
That's
saved,
right.
You got a built-in radio. It's always on the right frequency. All you can do is key the mic. When I was flying them airplanes, we had a Jeps chart book, all thick book for every airport. You know what that is, don't you? Find the right frequency, turning them knobs, getting the... Hey, it's already on the right frequency.
Amen.
God, help me get above this storm.
Amen. Hmm?
God uses supplicating people, praying people. The secret of praying is getting them heard, getting heard. I heard a lady argue with me about this verse, John 9:31. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. She said, preacher, before my husband and I were saved, my husband was real sick. And I prayed that God would heal my husband, and he heard my prayer and healed my husband. I said, no, he didn't. God doesn't hear the sinner's prayer until that sinner's asking to be saved. That's the exception to that verse. I said, it was God's will to heal your husband, whether you're praying for it or not. Or he might have been answering somebody who was saved.
That's right.
Answering that prayer. God uses supplicating people,
Amen.
Praying people. How many here could pray more than we're praying? I raised both hands right there. Guilty as charged. Supplicating people. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Forceful, active, powerful, burdened, heartfelt, compassionate. God uses supplicating people. Number four, and I'm hurrying. This is where it gets quiet. God uses supplying people. You worship God with three books. We're in the song book. We're in the book right now, but we get in the pocketbook now and then too, don't we?
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You can't outgive God.
Amen.
I'm going to read some verses. You don't need to turn there. Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Every man according to your purpose in his heart, so let him give. Sowing and reaping. Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things that household laboring ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
Your giver regulates your getter.
Yeah.
God uses supplying people.
Yep.
Brother Blue mentioned last night, you cannot give God.
Amen.
I've got several illustrations here. I'm just going to go over a couple of them. When I was in Bible college, I was broke, and most college students were. We had two kids. Brother Roloff was in the church. He came there often. And he was always raising money, and rightfully so. He had a big ministry and needed a lot of money. I told my wife, I said, honey, write a check for $50 to the Roloff Ministries. I knew it. She knew it. That was a bad check.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
Generally, when you do something like that, you got to wait. I'm going to beat this to the bank. I'm going to do this. Peter, pay Paul. I'm going to make that check good the next day. We didn't have any idea how we was going to make that check good. But I know the Lord told me to write a check for $50. My wife didn't hesitate. She wrote that check out, put in the offering plate. Had a great service. The end of service, we was up talking around, fellowshipping after the end of service. One of those men came up and gave me a handshake and had one of them good handshakes, brother. Yeah. Had a bill in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
You know what it was?
Yep.
$100 bill.
Amen.
You know what I said to myself? You fool, why didn't you write one for $500? 15 years later, that happened. We were on our second island, the island of San Andres. I flew into the airport, didn't know anybody there. I found a taxi driver that had an old Schofield Bible sitting on the front seat of his taxi. I said, I need to go here and here and here. We got to be good friends. He took me to all the offices I had to go to get the paperwork done. We were good friends. Aldonald Gordon was his name. He had another taxi and he had a water truck. He was in pretty good business for an islander. But he made some bad decisions. He came up to me one day and said, Brother Nye, I need to ask you to help me. I hate to do this, but can you loan me $500, U.S. dollars? And when we go to islands, we tell them up front, they say, listen, I'm not a bank. I'm not a lending institution. I'm here to start a church.
Right.
Because he helped me so much, and he was such a good friend, I said, okay. He said he could pay it back in 90 days. 90 days went around, he couldn't pay it back.
Yep.
But my wife, if she had her way, she'd give my tie away. She said, why don't we just give it to him? God's blessing us. God's helping us. Just call him up. Tell him. I called him and said, Donald, just forget the indebtedness. Take it as a gift. Don't worry about paying it back.
Amen.
$500.
Amen.
That same month, we got our financial support. A businessman in Atlanta sent me a love offering check. He'd never done it before. You know how much it was? $1,000.
Amen. Amen.
You can't outgive God.
Right. Amen.
There's several ways to give to missions. You can give leftover money. Yeah. Well, I got $10 left at the end of the week. I do that every week. You can give budget money. Say, God, help me to rearrange my budget, enabling me to give. You can give what I call cookie jar money. You got some money stashed under the mattress for that sewing machine or that new shotgun, whatever it is. But the best way to give, just give by faith.
Amen.
Just trust God.
Yep.
Pray. Hey, Lord, what do you want to do through me this year?
Amen.
God uses saved people. Are you on the team?
Yes, sir.
God uses supporting people.
Amen.
God uses supplicating people.
Amen.
God uses supplying people.
Amen.
God uses soul winning people.
Amen. Hmm?
Farmers, fillers, fishermen.
Yeah, right.
Plowers, planters, and pickers.
Yeah.
Whatever part of that program you want to get in on will be just right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Some plant the seed, some water the seed, some reap the harvest. The Lord has given me some great soul winning experiences. I got to lead my flight instructor to the Lord. He was an F-4 pilot in Vietnam. I finally got to lead him to the Lord. He started weeping. He said, I can't wait to tell my dad. His dad was a Catholic that got saved. And when he got saved, his family just ostracized him.
Yep.
Kicked him out. He said, I can't wait to go call my dad.
Amen.
Tell him I got saved.
Amen.
I was in one of the road constructions going on to San Augustine where my flight school was. One of those guys out there in the middle of construction, we've got this sign. One side it says stop, the other side says slow. And I was stopped there at the beginning, first in line. He turned the sign around and said slow. And I started driving off, and my right front tire went flat while I was sitting there. Didn't make any noise, just went flat. I pulled off the side of the road. The Lord said, witness to this guy. Black guy holding the sign. Cars are going by, he's waving them on by. I stood out there with him while these cars are going by. I said, what's your name? He said, Moses. I got to lead Moses to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God uses soul-winning people.
Amen.
That's not easy to do, is it?
Right.
Here's something is easy to do. I tell our churches everywhere I go. God gave me this thought several years ago. Two things we've got to do. You want to fill these chairs up tonight, today? Two things. We've got to get Jesus to the people and the people to Jesus.
Amen.
Just that simple. It's easy. Anybody can get the people to Jesus. You don't have to have a degree for that. You just invite them to church.
Right.
Hand out a tract.
Right.
Give them your testimony.
Yep.
But the other one takes a little more effort. We need to learn a couple of scriptures. And in the margin of that verse you just write, you don't have to memorize but one.
Right.
Turn there. Show somebody they're a sinner. Jesus died for their sin. Get them saved.
Right.
God uses soul-winning people. I can't do that, preacher. Yes, you can. It all has to do by faith. By faith. Let me close with this illustration. I love this illustration. I've used it many times. Many years ago, before modern technology, they were trying to build a suspension bridge across the canyon. They took a group of men, they split them in half. One half went all the way around, took the long trip, and got up on the other side. So they got a group of men on each side of this canyon. One group flew a kite. They flew the kite, and the kite got across the canyon. When the kite got over the other side, they let the kite string out, and the kite came down, and they had a kite string stretched across the canyon. They tied the kite string to a cord, and they signaled men on the other side carefully, because the kite string is pretty fragile. They pulled the kite string across until the cord got across. They tied the cord to a rope. In the same process, they pulled the cord across till the rope got across. Then they tied the rope to a cable, and they got a cable across that canyon. And then another cable, and another cable, and that's how they built that suspension bridge. That's like our salvation. It only takes kite string faith to get saved. But God wants us to grow in faith, from kite string faith to cord faith, and from cord faith to rope faith, and from rope faith to cable faith. And there's no limit as to how high you can go. When I flew those little planes, I never had a plane. We had oxygen. It's 10,000 feet, the highest we could go. Supposed to have oxygen above that. But as far as faith goes, you can keep going higher and higher and higher. You can get as close to God as you can. So how's your faith today? Is it still kite string faith? Cord faith? Rope faith? Cable faith?
Amen.
It takes a team to get the job done.
Yes, sir.
Are you on the team? God bless you, brother. Amen.